Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. And we're going to start off with a bit of an apology, actually. If you were watching the show last night, what we're going to be talking about on the show this morning, by the way, Hayden Hackney from Middlesbrough could be back on the menu for Michael Carrick. Is that a good move for United? It's coming in from a North East correspondent, and that is where Middlesbrough is, which is where Hackney plays. We'll also be talking the latest on Tonali, Edison and Fernandez and a few other bits as well. Also, this, but where I want to start is with a bit of an apology. Thankfully, our thumbnail and title last night doesn't say deal off for Tchouaméni, because it very easily could have done. Let me set the scene, because it's not off. The deal for Tchouaméni is not off. But basically, what happened last night is we were doing our 8 o'clock show. Remember, United Stand live every morning at 10 o'clock and 8 o'clock at night. And also 2 o'clock in the afternoon in midweek days. But it came through that Real Madrid were not going to sell Tchouaméni and Valverde this summer. And Romano put a post out on Instagram. And we were sort of reacting to this live. When you actually look at what was said, the deal's not off at all. The deal isn't off. What was said by Perez, amongst many things, he was talking about, because he's got his presidential election coming along, he was talking about a lot of things quite vaguely. He was talking about things like, you know, how much their budget is in the summer, you know, can they win the Champions League every single year? So there's a lot of things to talk about. Also, refereeing changes next season, remind me about that. But yeah, he said things like this, Florentino Perez, we shouldn't be going crazy this summer. The idea that we can win a Champions League every year is ridiculous. Winning 6 in 10 years is something we've never done. But what he said about the situation with Valverde and Tchouaméni was, will Valverde and Tchouaméni stay? For me, yes, of course. That's not, they're definitely staying. That's not 100%. And then Romano actually said this, Manchester United view Tchouaméni as their dream midfield target and their ideal replacement for Casemiro. Real Madrid president Perez has publicly and privately confirmed that Tchouaméni is not for sale and will definitely stay at the club this summer. Despite United's high interest, any potential deal faces major hurdles, including Tchouaméni's high salary, Madrid's firm stance, making it a long-shot dream rather than a realistic or imminent transfer. Well, we know it's a bloody dream. No one expected it to happen like next week or this week or before the World Cup or during the World Cup. We know it's a dream, but it's not over. I'd still say there is a, you know, Perez saying for me he stays. Has he spoke to Mourinho? Maybe Mourinho says, what are my options in midfield? Oh, it's Enzo Fernandez. Well, I want Enzo Fernandez. We'll have to sell Tchouaméni. Okay. So I still think that something can happen in relation to that. Absolutely. I don't think it's off. And look, apologies. Sometimes it's difficult when you're live and you get information coming in to react to it and without doing the research. But doing the research, listening to the comments of Perez, listening to what Romano said, it's a dream for Man United. And at the moment, Real Madrid are closing doors. But Real Madrid are closing doors to everybody because they've got a presidential election. So things can change. And Tchouaméni was always a more long-term marquee signing as well, much the same as Tonali and potentially Anderson as well. So I don't think we should start putting crosses next to people at all. In fact, I won't be putting crosses next to people because smash a like on the video. Here is your hotometer as of today. And I haven't changed it. I did talk about potentially changing it last night, but I haven't changed it. I'd still put Tchouaméni at a 6. I'd still put Bolívar as a 50-55, Scott as a 4, Rodgers as a 4, Edison as a 9, and Fernandez and Anderson as a 7. And the reason Fernandez and Anderson are a 7 is because we know we want both players. Obviously, Anderson could go to Man City and Anderson could go, and Fernandez could go to PSG or Arsenal. But at the moment, we know we want them. So I think that's where we sort of are at the moment. However, we can come back to the Tchouaméni story, certainly, but I want to delve into this morning. So this has come in from, and I'll shout him out, Scott Wilson Echo. He's the chief sports writer for the Northern Echo, focusing on coverage of Newcastle, Middlesbrough and Sunderland. Now, he has said Man United are set to enter the race for Hayden Hackney with support from Michael Carrick. The midfielder looks certain to leave Middlesbrough this summer. Now, this is a hipster signing. And I define a hipster signing as something that people get very, very passionate about, but maybe in the minority. So he is 23. He'll be 24 in a couple of weeks. If you don't know much about Hayden Hackney, he's a midfielder. He's 5'10". He's played England under 21s. Obviously hasn't played for England, hasn't played Premier League football. 137 appearances for Middlesbrough, 14 goals. And sort of described, well, I mean, I don't know. I'm actually going to do a video on Hayden Hackney later today where I delve into it a little bit deeper and compare him to other people. But my concern about this is that I see Hayden Hackney as a potential, I don't know, you know when Elliot Anderson went from Newcastle to Forest? I see some people talk about that. The difference with that is Elliot Anderson went from a Premier League club to a Premier League club. We're talking about a Championship player here. So I think it's difficult to define when was the last time a player came in from the Championship and did really, really well. There will be some people who can give us examples of that. But I feel with Hayden Hackney, he actually does suit a Crystal Palace or an Everton or a Nottingham Forest more than a Man United, a Liverpool or an Arsenal. It feels like he is a player that needs to understand the Premier League rather than be thrown into a big situation at Man United. Now, he might be able to do that in the sense that he's a bench player, but the question has to be, and the answer from me is no, do you want one of our four midfield signings to be an absolute work in progress project? And I don't. I think Baleba and Fernandez and Scott are work in progress, but with a Premier League platform background. I think with Hayden Hackney, he is an absolute definition of a project. And I don't think one of these three midfield signings can be a project, because Mainoo is a project with Premier League proven ability. Edison will be a project with no Premier League proven ability. Fernandez and Baleba or Scott will all be Premier League projects who are young and have no Champions League experience. So we can't just buy projects. And I think Hayden Hackney would be the biggest project of the lot, because he's never played Premier League football. He's never played European football. And you want him to be 33% of our summer midfield signings. I think it's a big, big risk. And I don't really understand what United are doing when you're taking a huge risk on a coach. And Carrick is a huge risk. No, even massive Carrick fans cannot sit here and say this is the guy that's going to do better than Ten Hag or Mourinho or even bloody Van Gaal. And that's true. You know, Carrick, Mourinho finished second in the league. He won a Carabao Cup. He won a Europa League. Ten Hag finished third in the league, won an FA Cup, a Carabao Cup. Ollie, you know, you could argue with that. So Carrick may not even be able to do better than them. Mourinho was given Pogba. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got Ronaldo and Sancho. We can't be giving Michael Carrick Hayden Hackney. Like, we just can't. We can't be doing that. He's inexperienced. And yes, he may have liked him from Middlesbrough, but that is not even the same as, you know, Jose Mourinho or Erik ten Hag or, well, Amrim never did it, bringing players in from Porto or Ajax. You know, they will have had Champions League experience. I know they didn't have Premier League experience. Edison has Champions League experience. I know he hasn't got Premier League experience. But my concern with Hayden Hackney is, where is the, you know, this is a major project to take a Championship player and stick him into the Premier League. It's massive. I need to delve into it a little bit more. So that's my concern. The positive of this is that what if he is the next Elliot Anderson? And I think we all wish we'd bought Elliot Anderson from Newcastle instead of Forest. What if he does go to an Everton or a Forest, does really well, and then in a year's time, he's a £70 million midfielder at 24? So again, that's something else to balance, isn't it? Yes, it's a massive project, it's a massive risk, and it's probably a step too soon. But if he takes that step to a Brighton or a Forest or an Everton and he does really well, and in a year's time you go, we should have bought him before that, we do moan about that. We do. We do moan about that. We always go, wow, why can't we get the player before they're worth 70, 80, 90 million pounds? So in that sense, I suppose that's a positive. Also, Michael Carrick knows him a lot. Michael Carrick managed him at Middlesbrough. So maybe Michael Carrick knows a little bit more about it than all of us. In fact, he will do. So I think that it's one of those, isn't it? My mic drop on this is it's a no. And it's a no, it's not a no because of the lack of experience in the project. I think that's a good enough reason to be a no. And it's not a yes because he could be brilliant. You know, it's a no because we can only sign three. We're clearly signing Edison, so we can only sign two more. Hackney cannot come in with Edison. It can't be Edison, Hackney and one other. That's not good enough. So unless we're dropping interest in Edison, Hackney can't come. Because the next two signings have got to be better than Edison. He's got to be the worst of the three because he's the biggest risk and he's the cheapest. So you can't buy Edison and Hackney because if we're doing that, we may as well just start the protests right away. I mean, what are we doing signing Edison and Hackney as two of our three midfielders? That can't happen. So we either drop interest in Edison and sign Hackney or we don't sign him at all because after Edison, it's got to be players of the quality of Anderson, Tchouaméni, Tonali, Fernandez, Scott, potentially a Belaba or someone like that. It can't be Edison, then Hackney for me. So it's a no, in my opinion. But I do want to get yours. Make sure you whack your comments in, whether you're watching live or not. Hackney is just a Dan James signing and that didn't work, says Christopher Woodhouse. Can we use Calvin Phillips' career to lure Anderson, says Keel Robinson. And look, just going back to that, I think that there are examples of players that have come in from the Championship have done really well. Morgan Rodgers, although that was via Man City, if we're being honest. Mason Mount went and had a loan at Chelsea the year before he got into the first team in the Championship. So, look, you can come in from the Championship. I mean, look, I'm old enough to remember Steve Bull. Steve Bull went to Italia 90, never played in the top division in England, scored shitloads of goals for Wolves in the late 80s, early 90s, never played in the top league. And he was a brilliant striker and he went to the World Cup. So it can happen. Kevin Phillips came up from the Championship and scored a load of goals. So it can happen. Michael Olise. So it can Adam Wharton. It can definitely happen. And it should happen. And I want to see it happen more. You know, I don't know about you lot, but I actually want to see players coming in from League One and the Championship into the Premier League. I mean, the last time I checked, it's the English Premier League. It's the English Championship. The Championship is massively watched. If you're outside the UK, it's a massively watched league. It's 46 games. It's very competitive. I'd love to see more players coming in from the Championship into the Premier League. I would never sit here and say, I don't want him because he's from the Championship. But the parameters of what we need is very high. We have an inexperienced coach with an inexperienced coaching staff and you want to bring in inexperienced players. That's a recipe for disaster. Carrick needs Tonalis and Tchouaménis. He doesn't need Hackneys and Edisons. He can have one, but the other two I think need to be of a higher standard. Keel Robinson says all roads lead to Belaba. Can I just say as well this morning, my thoughts and prayers are with everybody who suffers with hay fever. Oh my God. I've had it horrible. You know, like I said, I was bigging it up on Friday night. I said, you know what? I've been taking my antihistamines. I've been using, you know, saline nasal sprays. And normally I get really bad colds and, you know, rhinitis, whatever you want to call it, in March and April. And here I am in June. It's amazing. Went out in the garden last night to play a bit of football with Seb. And my left nostril itching like mad. Eyes running. Feel like I've got the flu. Horrible. Horrible. Apparently it's tree pollen. I looked on the internet last night. It's tree pollen. Some of you last night were on the internet looking at better things than me, certainly typing in better search terms than tree pollen. Some of you might have been typing in, is the Tchouaméni deal off? Some of you might have been going a bit X-rated. But the point is, if you do suffer with hay fever, God, it's back with a bang with me today. Just wipes you out as well. Makes you feel cold and headachy and stuff. But I'm all right now. But thoughts and prayers with everybody who gets it. It's a worldwide issue. Anyway, Form says, seeing a lot of some posts praising Ineos spending 110 million on some credit debt or such, saying they're nothing like the Glazers. Am I missing something or are people really this gullible? Look, we'll just keep the receipts, mate. There's people who do what I do, who think that rimming the Glazers and Ineos will get them into the club, like it has Rio Ferdinand. And maybe it will do. But honestly, leave your conscience at the door. Like, if you want to praise Ineos, these are people who've sacked half the workforce, have made a lot of money last season by ripping you off, by increasing prices, made a lot of mistakes. And if you want to start praising them, and they're nothing like the Glazers, let me tell you this. They don't own Man United. The Glazers own Man United. So Jim Ratcliffe can't wipe his arse at Carrington unless the Glazers say so, because they own the football club. Sir Jim Radcliffe does not have freedom to do anything at that football club. He doesn't get write off on anything. He does run the football side of things, but he cannot write the checks. So ultimately, the Glazers still own this football club, and you're an absolute moron if you think that's not the case. What do you think the delay is on Ederson? Who should be our next signing? Happy New Month, says Rafa. It is June. That reminds me. Remind me about career mode. It's back at 4 o'clock today. England World Cup career mode with the stadiums, the players, the kits, the lot. We're live at 4 for that. But let me touch about this Ederson story, because there is something that's come out this morning in the Manchester Evening News. There is still some work to be done to formally agree a deal to sign Ederson from Atalanta. Sources confirmed last week that the transfer was close, but it's premature to discuss when an agreement announcement could be made at this stage on Monday morning. Everything is moving in the right direction to make Ederson the first signing of the summer transfer window. United want a fair deal. That's a lovely cup of coffee. It's become a thing for me, actually. If we've got any coffee brands out there that, you know, want to sponsor the morning show, I think that would be a great fit. You know, I could get a Starbucks or a Costa, or even a Pret. Pret do a lovely coffee. Yeah, just get it delivered sat here like this. It's a no-brainer, Brandbridge. But no, look, going back to Ederson, I would do tea, yeah. I'd do hot chocolate as well. Look, yeah, any hot beverage is always a great start to the day with you good people. Look, I think in relation to Ederson, there's a lot of people pretending they know stuff. This used to really irritate me about 10 years ago. Remember the influx of ITKs? I mean, one of them's still hanging around, Indy Kayla, but there used to be a few that have, you know, long disappeared now. But every summer, we get these accounts that think, I know, I've got an amazing way to grow on social media. I'm going to lie about transfers. They all die. They all get ridiculed and they all get it wrong. Because the reason people like Romano and David Ornstein survive is because they actually do have sources and they don't make mistakes. But we still get these faceless wonders who live behind accounts where they don't show their face, saying, I've got information, I've got information, I've got information. If you were an aspiring journalist, look at someone like Sam C, who used to work with us. You can see his face, you can see his accounts, and, you know, he does well in going out. He had an interview with Sesco last week. You know, that's how you do it. There is absolutely no reason to be in the know and not show your face, because your whole point, your whole career path is to be Romano or Ornstein. So I just don't buy into this bollocks of these people who hide behind names and don't show their face, because I think they're making it up. And I think last week I've put my hands up and said, in relation to Ederson, I do not know anything, right? All I've got told is what I've told you over the last few weeks. We had a big update on Fernandes last night. And then about a week and a half ago, Man United are going to make a big signing before the World Cup. And they will make a big signing before the World Cup, because the World Cup doesn't start for another week and a half. But we said that 3 weeks before the World Cup, and people started talking about Fernandes bids, Ederson's done. Literally, people were saying Ederson's done last week. And I'm like, who are you? What are you talking about? It's not done, is it? It will get done, but there seems to be this obsession with being first. I think I tweeted last week, looks like Ederson's happening then. But it will happen, but I don't know when it's going to happen. And that's where we are with Ederson. It will happen, but it ain't done. You know, they're not waiting for 2 o'clock on Tuesday, TT. It will get done. It's just not done yet. I think the most important thing with Ederson is, and you have to respect this, there are certain people in our fan base that would love this deal to fall apart. It's not going to fall apart. It's 9 out of 10 for a reason. He's not a big signing, Mark. But I don't define that. I don't define that. Lots still to talk about. Please do smash a like on the video and share the video. We've got nearly 10,000 watching this morning. Get involved with the United Stand. Make sure you subscribe. We've got some good content for you today. 8 o'clock every night this week as well with me, as well as 10 o'clock this morning. Do you not take a holiday? I'm planning on taking a holiday, but not for the next 2 months because of the World Cup and stuff. No. But what was I talking about there? I've completely forgotten what I was talking about. What do you think the delay is on Anderson? Who should our next be signing? That was it. I wanted to answer Raphael's super chat. The delay on Ederson will be simple negotiations. Man United aren't particularly quick anyway. We, as it said in the Manchester Evening News, we want a fair deal. Atalanta are notorious for getting good deals. We paid a lot of money for Ahmad. We paid a lot of money for Rasmus. So I think that... I just got to get rid of someone there. I think that this will just be coming down to negotiations of the price. And also, as I said to you last night, their new manager, which is Sarri, and their new director of football, who I can't remember the name, I think it's Phil someone, they've only just been announced. So, yeah. Do you think Anderson and Bruno can work well together in this system, especially with the extra 12 to 14 games next season, says Enchanted Angle? Look, I personally think that's a great question, because we can all have our preference on who we want to buy, but we can only deal with the evidence that we have in front of our face. I think the obvious thing is that Carrick has picked Mainoo, Casemiro and Bruno every game he could. He can't pick Casemiro anymore because he's gone. So what midfielder suits Mainoo and Bruno the most that we're looking at? If we start the season with Ederson, Mainoo and Bruno, I think there's vulnerability there because we don't know what Ederson is. If we start the season with Mainoo, Anderson and Bruno there, I think it's exciting, but we don't know how they're going to work together. If we start the season with Tchouaméni, Mainoo and Bruno, I think we've got real defensive stability. If we start the season with Tonali, Mainoo and Bruno, I think we've got a really good balance. So, look, ultimately, this is why I want Anderson, Tchouaméni or Tonali, because when we start next season, which one of those three works with Bruno? I think they all work with Bruno and Mainoo in different ways. But for me, I think Tonali and Tchouaméni provide the best balance. Anderson provides the most excitement. But it has to be one of those players because, you know, if it's Belaba, Mainoo and Fernandes, I'm worried. If it's Ederson, Mainoo and Fernandes, I'm worried. If it's Fernandes, Mainoo and Fernandes, I'm worried. I think there's inexperience there. I think we've got to replace Casemiro with the best we can, you know, the best available, really. Tom Grant says, we spent 60 million on Casemiro. Remember his age at the time. So 80 million on Tonali should be a no-brainer. A tiered list of signing centre midfielders with Ederson / Tonali or Anderson is vital. Act now or after the World Cup. Look, Tom, I'm quite relaxed about waiting till after the World Cup. As I said, there will be a big signing before the World Cup. That's what I was going to say, actually. I don't define what the big signing is, and neither do you. Like, what I was told, and I told you from a very good source, is that Man United will make a big signing before the World Cup. One man's fish and chips is another man's lasagna. And what I mean is perfect meal. You know, we're having an amazing meal tonight. You get something like in a lasagna and you go, I don't like it. But they might be like, well, this is an amazing meal. So we don't know what big signing means to Man United. £35 million on a midfielder, I think they will class that as a big signing. I think that's probably the big signing. Maybe it's going to be somebody else. I saw somebody this morning talking about a bid for Tonali this week. I think what we can expect this week is the closure, potentially, of the Ederson deal and not a lot else. Or we might suddenly swoop in and put a bid in for somebody else as well. But there's no definitive plan with United. And I think that, as Tom said there, the World Cup is going to take a lot of eyes. But it shouldn't take Wilcox and Berada's eyes. They shouldn't be sat there going, Omar, I'm staying up tonight to watch Scotland Haiti at 2 a.m. I might take the day off tomorrow. Me too, Jason. I will as well. That can't happen. They don't get to watch the World Cup. They get to go to work. So the World Cup will distract a lot of people, but it shouldn't be distracting what we've got to do. And you might not think that Ederson's a big signing, but Man United probably do. And when they say big signing, do you mean big signing in the sense of, ooh, big signing, height, we're signing Michael Jordan? Or do they mean big signing in the sense of it's a £100 million player? Or do they mean big signing in the sense that we're making a signing before the transfer window opens? Because that's what I think by Man United. I think they mean it's a big statement. you know, we've got a midfielder in before the official transfer window opens. Because the official transfer window, I reckon it opens... let me just double check. Official summer transfer window open 2026. June the 15th. And then it closes on the September the 1st. So Man United probably think a big signing is somebody that signs before then. Ayus says, pick one from each group and explain why. Tchouaméni, Tonali, Anderson, Edison, Wharton, Fernandez, Scott, Baleba, Hackney. Why have you put Edison in the middle group with Fernandez? I don't agree with your groups, but I would say this morning I'd still go Tonali. Second group, I would go Fernandez over Edison and Wharton. Third group, I'd go Scott over Baleba and Hackney. So I'd go Scott, Fernandez, Tonali. I'd be over the moon with that. John Patterson says Tesimo. And Forms, we've done yours as well. Thank you very much for Keel as well. Jack Brown says, we need to find players that can cope with the weight of the shirt playing in front of 75,000 fans and millions watching. Isn't for a championship player. You know what, Jack? I think that's probably one of the most sensible comments I've seen in a long time. I absolutely agree with you. Please do share the video. We're only 200 away from 10,000 live viewers as well. Get involved with the channel. I do agree with Jack. I think that is something that's really important. Look, I've spoken to a couple of current players before, past players as well. Privately, it's always one thing I ask, you know, is playing for Manchester United harder than playing for, you know, Arsenal or Chelsea? And the answer tends to be, well, I haven't played for those clubs, but the scrutiny at Man United is immense. Like, you can be a new signing and called a flop within two games. You can be a player who scores a hat trick and you're world class, and then the next game you don't score and you're shit again. The amount of journalist attention is ridiculous. You know, you think about Man United. You think about Man United press conferences. How many journalists can you name? James Ducker, Simon Peach, Chris Wheeler, Laurie Whitwell, Lookhurst. I feel like if I think about it, I can probably get to 10. How many Arsenal journalists can you name? Now, I know we don't support Arsenal, but I don't think they have that volume either. The expectation, the history, the noise, Old Trafford. I agree with Jack. I think that you have to look at that. We're not building Everton. We're building Manchester United. And I think if you're Everton, you can bring Hayden Hackney in. You know, you can. But I think at Man United, two of your midfield signings can't be Hayden Hackney and Edison. So I think this is my point. You know, we can buy Hayden Hackney, Fernandez and Tonali. We can buy Edison, Fernandez and Tonali, but we can't sign Edison, Hackney and Tonali because we've got two players there that you're taking a punt and you want to take as less punts as possible, you know? Doesn't mean he won't be a good player though. Do you think Anderson, I've done that one from Enchanted Angel, did that one as well. Okay, I want to move back here. So look, if you've tuned in a little bit late, the story last night was that the Tchouaméni deal was off because Perez has said that they won't sell him. What he actually said is that for me, they're not for sale. And you know what as well? You know what got me thinking about what he had to say? Because I listened to Perez's interview. He was asked about a crisis in the dressing room and he said, crisis in the dressing room? The dressing room is wonderful. They're the same guys they've always been and they're all friends. But if one of them steps on another's foot during training and they get angry, we shouldn't blow it out of proportion. And if we should get angry, it's because they're leaking information. Some people say the problem is the fight. No, the problem is the one who leaks it. The atmosphere is perfect. Only a few bad apples leakers and we've got them figured out. So Perez distracting and saying Valverde and Tchouaméni will stay. For me, yes, of course. I don't buy this. I will sit here and say, I don't think the Tchouaméni deal is off. Of course, I accept that he probably wants to stay there. And they, at the moment, aren't even thinking about selling him. But the minute they want to bring a midfielder in, they'll need to raise money. And Tchouaméni will be told, you know, you surplus to requirements. And then he'll probably say yes to Man United. I think that pathway is still one that can be walked. And when you actually listen to what Perez says, and you should always go to the evidence source and not listen to rumour, I think Perez there is asking a lot of different questions. He's being asked a lot of different questions. He hasn't woke up in the morning done a press conference saying Tchouaméni and Valverde are definitely staying. It was a consequence of a question about the dressing room, and these questions are being asked about him because of the presidential election. It would be absolutely stupid. It would be career suicide for him to say, yeah, Tchouaméni and Valverde can't stand each other. We need to figure out which one we're going to sell because the dressing room's in chaos. He's trying to get re-elected. So of course, somebody could sit and say Tchouaméni's not leaving Real Madrid. Logically, maybe he isn't, but I don't actually think that update last night was as significant. I don't think we're in a different position this morning than we were last Monday with Tchouaméni. It's a hard deal to do. And Romano is right. You know, why are United briefing about Tchouaméni being a dream signing? Why? You could get angry about that. You could say, so why don't you brief that Farid Skelly is a dream signing as well then? Why don't you brief that Harry Kane's a dream signing? Why are we briefing about dream signings if we can all do that? Imagine you're out for a family meal. Not a family meal. Imagine you go out with your partner, yeah? And some other friends, and you go, right, let's stop talking about our holidays. Next topic is who's your dream shag? And we'll start off with me. My dream shag is, and you name a pop star or something like that. That's not gonna go down well with your wife, is it? Or your husband or your partner. They're gonna be, what the hell are you doing? Why are you talking about your dream shag? You're married to me. Why have you done that in front of our friends? And I feel a little bit like that with United on Tchouaméni. If it's just, ooh, what's our dream signing, Jason? Well, put this out, Fabrizio. We'd love Tchouaméni. There's got to be something to it. You don't, because we're like the partner, aren't we? We're the one going, Jason, why are you telling the world that your dream signing is Tchouaméni when I'm here sat next to you? Like, why would you do it? So I just don't believe this. Tchouaméni's definitely staying at Real Madrid. This is our dream signing. Because we could brief about Kvaratskhelia. We could brief about Mbappe. Why would you brief that this is our dream signing unless you feel like this something can happen? Look, I'm not saying it will happen, but it feels to me like United have put it out there thinking there might be a chance, you know? And that's fine, but I don't think it's off. I don't think it's off because I feel like Perez, when you listen to the interview, is doing a lot of answers to a lot of questions, and it's all about PR ahead of the presidential election. Once he's elected, it's like the government in the UK, isn't it? When we get elected, you never have to work again. You'll all drive a Ferrari. There'll be no debt for anybody, and we'll deliver free food 3 times a day for everybody. And I'm going to vote for them. Then they get in and go, yeah, we've looked at the finances of the previous person. It's all their fault. We can't do anything we said we were going to do. In fact, we're going to raise you taxes. So we all know what election processes are all about. And everything Perez says won't happen. It won't. Because once he's elected, he could say, I've spoken to Jose. We want to be more ambitious than I thought. You know, we want to bring Rodri and Enzo Fernandez in. But to do that, we do need to make sales. Tchouaméni, you're sold. So I think that Tchouaméni's still in the race. And it goes back to the question we had a few minutes ago about, you know, do we need to get deals done quickly? I probably am going to be in the minority here, but I do not think that we have to get the deals done quickly. I think we have to get certain deals done quickly. We've got to move. We can't wait. We can't do nothing until the end of July. But Edison, hopefully in the next week or two. In June, hopefully Fernandez. And then July, who's the third marquee signing? Is it Anderson? Is it Tonali? Is it Tchouaméni? I'm quite comfortable with Tchouaméni, Tonali or Anderson coming in July because I understand that all three of those deals are difficult. The main thing is to get one of them done. Anderson, hopefully, is going to wait till after the World Cup. Tonali, we need Newcastle to move a bit and we need Tonali to move a bit. He's got to start pushing. And Tchouaméni, we need to find out whether he's going to leave or not, you know? VX says, is the Anderson deal still off or on? Oh, I'll tell you what, I forgot to do this. Apologies. Would you sign Hayden Hackney? Yes or no? Apologies. I blame the hay fever. It's got me a little bit blurry. Is the Anderson deal off or on still? Lovely coffee. Two things I want to talk to you about. First of all, the World Cup starts a week on Thursday. England have a friendly on Saturday and then next Wednesday. New Zealand and Costa Rica, I think it is. They're flying out to the United States today. Rashford's already in Miami. He's been using Inter Miami's facilities. He's in fitness mode. So Rashford's raring to go. This is good news about Rashford very quickly. I digress, but I think this is fantastic news about Rashford. I've seen all the pictures. He's training really hard. Look, most footballers train hard and they don't put pictures on Instagram. But the point is, I think from Rashford's point of view, it's really good. If Rashford is focused on fitness and, you know, being ready for the World Cup, and he has a good World Cup, that helps us move him on. Now, I still keep hearing people say, well, you know what? If we can get fit Rashford back, I'd still have him back at Man United. And people need to realise that he doesn't want to come back to us and we don't want him back. So every time I sort of hear people talking about, I still think we should bring him back. He doesn't want to be back at Manchester United. Like, he doesn't. So I think that's really important to remember, that, you know, he doesn't want to come back. But what we do want to see is Marcus Rashford in, you know, good form, etc. But look, in relation to answering the Anderson question, the fact that he's flying out to the States today means he'll be focused in on the World Cup now. Will he be ready to make a decision before the World Cup or during the World Cup? I mean, I don't know. I'm not Elliot Anderson's agent, but I would suggest that the best thing he can do is wait. And I would say this, the longer he doesn't sign for Man City, the more chance we have. Because Man City were in advanced talks with Elliot Anderson in the March international break. Not my words, the words of Fabrizio Romano. That was definitely said. It was the Friday night. We were playing. Who did we played Bournemouth on the Friday night just before the March international break. And Romano said, Man City are in advanced talks with and Elliot Anderson. That's over 2 months ago. So they haven't got that deal done. The longer they don't get that deal done, the more we've got a chance. Mark, will you take Norman to the World Cup? If you know, you know. Tom, you'll have to wait and see on that one. When will we be going for Malik Diouf, says Fraze. I've not heard anything about that at all. Also, follow on from last night, these prats who think we should sign Jared Bowen. Why would you sign Jared Bowen from West Ham and stick him on your left wing when he's a right winger, when you could just buy Somerville, who's going to the World Cup with the Netherlands and is better than Jared Bowen, younger than Jared Bowen, and plays on the left wing? I mean, why would you want Jared Bowen? I just find it absolutely crazy. He's going to be 30 in December as well. Sign Somerville. We don't need to get... Sometimes I think some of our fans think we're Everton. Oh, let's sign Jared Bowen and Hayden Hackney. No, let's sign Somerville from West Ham if we're buying a West Ham winger, and let's buy Stiller from Stuttgart, you know? I'd rather Jim Bowen, says UK Darren fan. Yeah. Are there an H? Oh, that's Bruce Forsyth, isn't it? We need to find players that... I've done that one from Jack Brown. It was very good, in fact. Thank you very much. Okay. Right. Let me come back to something. Oh, I wanted to mention this. Ben Jacobs is LA bound for the World Cup. There we go. Lovely stuff. A lot of people will be getting ready for that. Mason Mount's in Tokyo. James Milner's retired. It's got nothing to do with this. No, there was something I wanted to talk about here. Oh, World Cup related and next season related. Let me just read you this. So I didn't know he did this, but Colina, Pierluigi Colina, if you don't remember those days, we lived in an era of referee goatness. He was the goat. Referee. He how we've never had a referee like this again, I don't know. He was an Italian referee, did a lot of Champions League games, obviously did Serie A, incredible referee. He was on the front of a Pro Evo game. He was absolute goat as a referee. So apparently he's still involved. There's going to be a major crackdown on corners in FIFA in the World Cup as they bring in a raft of new measures. A lot of these changes are expected to filter into the Premier League next season. So apparently in the World Cup, they're going to really look at grappling from corners. Now, you think about Man United against Everton, you think about Arsenal this season, but to be fair, we do it as well. So I think next season, I take this as a positive. We scored a lot of goals and we got a lot of points following the Arsenal model of being very good at corners. And Bruno got a lot of assists from corners and Casemiro and Maguire scored a lot of goals from corners. I mean, we basically would have lost to Fulham if it wasn't for corners. So, but Casemiro's gone. I don't think next season corners are going to be such a big thing. So again, that might not be a bad idea. That might not be a bad thing that we need to move away from that towards something new. Gideon says, I think Tchouaméni fits the club's pressure the best. Yeah, get your comments in. I want to get into some of your questions. We have got over 10,000 watching now. Please do keep sharing the video. 71% of you wouldn't. Sorry, I'm going to have to take some water. This hay fever stuff. 71% of you wouldn't take Hayden Hackney. I will do a video on Hayden Hackney later on today. You know, like I use Y Scout for all the stats and that. I'll compare him to Edison. Who do you want me to compare him to? Edison, Fernandez, and it's better if you do it with four. Anderson, Edison, and Fernandez. We'll compare him to them three. And maybe Mainu as well. The X says, you could walk. Would you sign Tonali now or soon? Wait longer for Tchouaméni. Also, would you prefer Liao or Somerville? I prefer Somerville over Liao, definitely. Would I sign Tonali now or wait for Tchouaméni? Mate, if I had that choice this morning, wait, sign Tonali now or gamble and get Tchouaméni late July, I'd take Tonali now. I'd do all my business today if I could. I mean, look, from a content point of view, it'd be a bit of a dry June and July. But if somebody said to me, you can press a button and United have got Lewis Hall, Edison, Fernandez, Tonali and Nusa now, I'd do it. Definitely would do it. I'd take them five deals today. Yeah. Yeah. Melvin says, the way Ineos are so slow, our top shelf targets will go elsewhere. I'd love Tonali and Fernandez, but somehow feel Belaba will end up with us. You know what? Somebody said, I will share it. I wasn't going to share it, but somebody actually said to me, Saturday. I was in the pub. Saturday afternoon, I was in a beer garden. I was talking to a couple of people and they were United fans. And one of them said, and they'd had a couple of drinks, so what, you know, they're not in the know, I don't think. They said, I really want us to get one of the big midfielders like an Anderson. I like this Fernandez, and I'm not worried about Edison if we get those two. But they said, what I'm worried about is that United are throwing these names out like Anderson, and then he goes to Man City, and Tonali, and he goes to Arsenal, and Tchouaméni, and he stays at Real Madrid, and then they get Belaba. Because they go, well, we tried and we couldn't get anybody else and we have to accept Belaba because it's all that's left. And it got me thinking because I thought, well, you could do that on purpose. You could literally play that game on purpose. You could tell everybody you want Tchouaméni. You could tell everybody Tonali's too expensive. You could tell everyone you want Anderson. And then when they're all staying where they are or going elsewhere, you go, well, Belaba. Like, because they know he's there. But the fly in the soup of that is that you've still got Brighton saying we want £70 million. And if we spend anything more than 45 on Belaba, we're going to get laughed out of the Premier League. He's not worth more than 45 million, you know. He's not. I mean, anybody who thinks he's worth more than 45 million is mad. He's just not. He's not. If we're paying 35 for Edison with 1 year left on his contract, why would you pay anything more than 45 for Belaba, who's had a bad season? You can't pay £60 million on potential. It's ridiculous. You pay. He's 22, which means he's been crap for most of being 22, right? In fact, he was 21 at the start of the season. So, you go back to last summer, he was only 21 and a half. He's had a crap season. He's now 22. Why is he worth 60, 70, 80 million pounds? He's not. He's worth 45. That's his price. And he's only got 2 years left on his contract. So He's a £45 million player.
Nothing more.
Anthony says more like 4.5. No, I think 45 million with add-ons is okay. I still wouldn't do the deal, but that's okay. But yeah, he's not worth 50. He's not worth 55. He's not worth... I mean, look, we paid £60 million for Cunha. We paid £65 million for Mbeumo. Chelsea paid 50 for Pedro. This guy's not worth more than 45. I mean, hello. Hello, Brighton. Hello, Wilcox. Can we live in the real world? He ain't worth more than £50 million. He's worth 45. That's what he's worth. How much do you think Hackney would go for? Good question. Actually, he should be my producer. I should have realised that one. Hayden Hackney is a player that's got 1 year left on his contract. Oh, it all makes sense now. He's only got a year left on his contract, probably 20 million. Yeah. He's only got a year left on his contract. And he's represented by, I'm just having a look at it, SEG Agency. Just waiting to see who they represent. Yeah, it says on Transfer Market, contract expires 2027. So I would say Hayden Hackney is a £20 million player going for £30 million with 1 year left on his contract. That would be incredible. Well, I don't know why that's not loading up. Sports Entertainment Group is his agent. They're based in the Netherlands. Rasmus, Nico O'Reilly, Calvert-Lewin. There's no Man United players represented by them. Their biggest client is Cody Gakpo. So no, there's no connection in there. Yeah, but I presume Transfer Market is accurate, and therefore he'd be very cheap. I mean, as someone in the chat just said there, it whizzed through too quickly, but I read it. Championship player with 1 year left on their contract should be 15 million. Simon Jordan just called you out on TalkSport, says Sirex. What for? What for? I mean, I don't know what he's called me out for. I don't know whether it's true. He knows he can get hold of my number very easily. I've said I'd go and have a chat with him any day of the week. So don't call people out when you're a coward, basically. I've got no respect for people who call people out, but definitely will not have a debate. So got no respect for that. First time out of the Big Six. Five have new managers, says Jaws of Life, 1991. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, it's going to be very exciting next season, definitely. Would you take Solice as a left winger? 50 goal contributions this season, says Jack. I keep hearing a lot about this name, and I don't know what the situation is with him as a... I mean, he's 24, plays in the Belgian league for Club Brugge. It's a no for me. But he'll probably get signed by Liverpool and be the next Salah. If you could, would you sign Tonali now or soon? I've done that one, haven't I, from BX as well. And there we go as well. There was something I wanted to say there. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thing about Hayden Hackney, isn't it? I mean, that's not been mentioned enough. He's only got 1 year left on his contract. I mean, that is an is that a red flag? Is that a good thing? I mean, he'd be very, very cheap. Very, very cheap. But if you're signing Edison, we don't need another cheap midfielder either, do we? I mean, Edison at 35 million is cheap, according to a lot of people. So I think that's certainly one to bear in mind, is that cheapness doesn't really come into it for me. Sirius says, would you take Diouf at West Ham for left back? I mean, I think he is a consideration. I personally think the most suitable players for Manchester United are going to be Lewis Hall, probably not available, Truffert as well. But
There's something about that Diouf at West Ham that just feels a little bit unorthodox, erratic. I think he's good, but I think he's a bit erratic. It doesn't feel like he's very smooth as a fullback. There's mistakes there. There's good bits. There's bad bits. I mean, I look at Truffert and I look at Hall. I think they're smooth left backs. It's back and forth. It's, yeah. So there we go. Lum says, do we need a left back? Well, if you're happy with Luke Shaw, you don't. If you're not happy with Luke Shaw, we absolutely do. Gio says, yeah, Diouf, it's not technical enough. Can only cross, not good at defending. And Kai says, not good enough. I think for me, I don't think he's good enough for Manchester United, if I'm being completely honest. I don't think he is. Gaz says, it's all dollars for donuts, isn't it, Mark? Call Simon and have the courage of your convictions. Thought enough of what of the what-to-what trick. Mate, look, I don't even know what's been said. All I know for a fact is that when I worked at TalkSport, I used to say all the time, get me on the show, and I wasn't allowed to go on. So, and that's the truth. And I can send you the emails and I can send you the WhatsApp. So it's got nothing to do with me. Look, when you're the biggest and the best, people want to gob off, and that's absolutely fine. But they've never taken the opportunity to actually say it to my face in front of all of you lot. So I don't have respect for people who do that. It's just, you know, content farming, isn't it? As I said, I've called people out loads of times on the premise that anytime they want to have a chat. Look, I think Rio Ferdinand's a prat. If he wants a chat, he won't do it. Scared of doing it. So, you know, I try not to get involved in any of that. The only people I really care about is this community. We're live at 8 o'clock. We're live at 10 o'clock. You know, that's the most important thing to me. And ultimately, you lot keep me on my toes anyway. No one's going to be afraid to say, I think you're an idiot. We should sign Hayden Hackney. And then we have the debate anyway. So I just don't need it. 4 a.m. from US. Cheers, Mark. We need Alex Scott as a main new competition signing. I love him, but every player must know their spot's not safe. I'd love to sign Alex Scott, but I'd love to sign Stiller. I'd love to sign Anderson. I'd love to sign Tonali. I'd love to sign Chiumini. I quite like Fernandez. I mean, I've just named six midfielders there. If we can get two out of those, I'd be over the moon. But I think you've got to get one of those. Actually, I think that's a fair point. I think Scott, Stiller, Fernandez, Chiumini, Anderson, and Tonali. We've got to sign two out of those six to go with Edison. Two out of those six. I don't think we're asking too much. We've got six options. You've got to sign two of them to go with Edison. You know? I think that's absolutely essential. Can you wish my missus, Anne-Marie, a happy 30th anniversary? She's my rock, says Chunky Chunks. Thank you very much. And big shout out to Anne-Marie, 30 years. It's a long time. You can tell a joke and say you get less for fraud. You do. What about Anderson? I thought he's joining, says Lum. I don't think anybody said that. Techie says, please, we need to move Scott up the hotter meter. Well, I don't. This is what's likely to happen. It's not what we want to happen. This is their hot rating out of 10. So Edison is 9 out of 10 because it's most likely to happen. Scott is 4 out of 10, and Bournemouth are confident he's going to sign a new contract. So, and also remember, Bournemouth have got that Europa League. They can say to their players, look, you know, we've given you the platform. We're in the Europa League. There we go. Anthony says, would you like Hackney, Belaber, Edison as our three midfielders, or is that the stuff of nightmares? That is the stuff of nightmares. That is the stuff of nightmares. I mean, that literally is a Brighton midfield, isn't it? Hayden Hackney, Belaber, and Edison. I mean, you could literally see that being Hertzler's midfield options next season, which is fine if you're Brighton, but not if you want to try and win the league. Yeah. Okay, thank you, everybody. Great show today. We're back at 2 o'clock. I've got an 8 o'clock show for you with me as well. And I'm going to drop a video about Hayden Hackney a little bit later as well, probably about 5 o'clock. So get ready for that. I'm going to compare him with our stats and throw it in. And we'll do a quick video on that as well. Because I must admit, cheap championship player, but I haven't seen a lot of him. Thanks for watching. Stay safe. I'll speak to you all in a bit.